Good morning. Well, hello. We have a wonderful new guest up here. Is that the Dr. Betty Hill? She is so great. She's been working hard on this international luncheon. Some of you might have taken note in the last few weeks we've been putting in the bulletin. It is one of my favorite things we do here at this church. One, because I like to eat, as you might be able to tell. And two, it's because we get to learn about various cultures that we're all represented here. Some of our guests, when you come in, you see these flags and you're like, what's with like the FIFA World Cup match or something? It's not that. It's these are the country of origins, if you will, from first generation that represent our congregation. We had no idea, the Lord did, but when this church was founded and the name All Villages, it comes from a scripture that we have above our doors out in the hallway that talked about Christ going to all the villages, bringing his teaching, proclaiming the good news. People were being healed, miracles were being experienced. And there was the prayer that this place would be like that for others. And it's been so humbling talking to our founding pastor, Pastor George, and previous pastor, Pastor Chris, about that as well, and just to hear how God has been doing that here time and time again. And we pray that you will be encouraged. This text is especially important that kind of explains, if you will, a little bit of what God is doing when it comes to this All Villages. It comes from Ephesians chapter 2. I pray it encourages you and touches you and challenges you. Yes, I did say that. So let us get into it. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth, people that are not Jewish, in other words, okay? Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, the Jewish people. Remember that at the time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope, without God in the world. It's pretty bleak, right? They're just trying to paint this picture between those who have been called as children of God, the family of God, the Jewish people, Israel, and everyone else, and how we had nothing. That the writer here, Paul, is who is a former, if you will, was current to still, I guess, a Jewish rabbi who is teaching others about there is a separation, and we have to follow the law. And then he met this Jesus that changed everything. It just wrecked his life in a good way. And he came to see how God was doing a beautiful thing, bringing all people together in him. And so he goes on. By the way, that without God is the same word, or the same Greek word where we get the word atheist. And so he's like, you know, all these things that people do, these other, if you will, religions and stuff like that. He goes, they're not really worshiping anything. It's the one true God. That's the one who's doing all this. Really, I mean, he's making some radical statements here. He goes on to say, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity. Out of the two, thus making peace. And in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father, by one Spirit. Consequently, it's a lot here, I know, I'll unpack. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, there is so much there. There is a lot there, and some that we we're still wrapping our minds around, but we pray, Lord, that you would help us know of you and your love in a way that would change us. Dare I say, transform us. That we would be different people because of our encounter with you, because of what you want to do in us right here, right now. That we are not here by accident, but you have chosen this time so that we may celebrate you in a beautiful, beautiful way. Guide our thoughts. Help us not struggle with any type of distraction. Help us embrace what you have for us. We pray this in your mighty name. Amen. Again, this text is filled with so much. There is a lot going on. But basically, you have these haves and these have-nots. These two groups, and there's this dividing wall, if you will. This temple that was just mentioned is, here's a picture, if you will, of the temple recreated over in Israel. Some of you might know that I had an incredible privilege of visiting there. And this is to scale, if you will, of what it would have been at that time period. People would have gone, if you will, I don't know if you can see from where you're at, but this far left part would have been the entranceway. That would have been where, if you will, right on that ledge, that flat area, where people would have given lessons, messages, would have challenged people, would have called people attention to certain scripture and really challenged people as they came in. That also would have been a place where they would have bought their offerings, if you will, their animals that they would have given, if you will, in the name of the Lord. And so the money changers are right down those steps and things. And through that, if you will, that was the first part, and the first part was for all people that weren't born Jewish and male. So in other words, if you were female and you were a convert, okay, you could get in that first part. The second part was only for females and children of Jewish families. And then the most inner court, if you will, was for Jewish males. And it was, they had this hierarchy, if you will, this dividing in between each of these groupings. And only one place, the Holy of Holies, where the chief priest of the entire tradition, the entire faith, could go into once a year. That's known as the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. And so you have this really, really very intentional, if you will, process of who's in and who's out, if you can, if you will. And the challenge, obviously, for us is we look at it and go, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. What's that about? I thought God loves us all. And so here we kind of just jump into the story, and we, if you will, in this text, and this church is learning about how God has finally torn away, if you will, this veil, this wall, and given us the true one who, if you will, is this new temple and who lives inside of us. There's lots going on. I mean, it's layer upon layer. So let me try to unpack this. So this temple was understood to be the place where heaven and earth met. This temple was where God humbled himself to dwell. And so the people would know they are his people and he is their God. And their relationship to him was so tightly connected to this temple, coming and going, until this Jesus ends up in one point actually condemning and judging the temple and saying, no more, this will not be anymore. In fact, this temple is going to be destroyed. And when it comes back, it'll be built in 3 days. Now, this was the second temple, just so you know. There was a previous temple that was probably about 4 to 5 times larger than this, they say. If you will, Solomon built it, and it was just profound. I don't hear a thing. I don't know what everyone's referring to. Working on that. Okay, good. Okay, but so back to here. So we have this temple that's there, that's huge. But when they rebuilt it and people had seen the previous one, they were in tears. Even though this is magnificent, even though this is profound, and it's huge. It's huge. But yet, they're like, man, God, I don't know, what is this really what you have for us? Come to find out, this Jesus ends up saying that when this temple comes back in 3 days, which they thought he was crazy, because we'd all think he's crazy. It took years to build this thing, you know. There's no way you can build this in 3 days. He was talking about himself coming back, this resurrection that we celebrate in Easter, he's proclaiming and saying, I'm doing a new thing. Paul, who's writing this, comes and says this. He says, you are the new temple. Let that sit for a second. Every one of us don't have to have a robe and a stole. Nope. Every one of us is the temple of God. That we, you and I, are the place where heaven and earth meet for every other person in this community. That should humble you. That should feel like, whoa. And yet God has chosen that to be his order of things. That he uses you and me for what he wants to do in the world. You may be have your own business, and you work with people day in, day out, and you're thinking about bottom line, you're thinking about paying bills, you're thinking about caring for your staff, and that's great. But God has called you first and foremost to be his light bearer where you're at, to share the hope you have. Do you have to have all the knowledge to make that work? No. Do you have to believe all the right things to make it work? No. God, there's a great text. I'll let you look for it. You should do a Google search, not now preferably, but you should do a Google search where a donkey, if you will, speaks for God. And if God can use a donkey, I like to say the King James Version, if he can use an ass, he can use me. And I hope you're not offended by that, but the reality is, God is working. And he invites us to be about it. But we sometimes think it's this division between those people, Christians, religious people, leaders, pastors, and me, or us. And the only division that we have is ones that we actually put up there ourselves. It's not about that. God has called you to be a faithful minister where he has placed you. And that seems sometimes overwhelming. And sometimes we just don't even know where to go with that. What do we do with that? I got a couple things I hope and pray will encourage you. It's not on your own. Oh, let me get a little bit darker background so you can see this. It's with God. You're doing it with him. Ask God for help. Ask God to help you know what to do, what to say, what not to say. Sometimes the best thing you can say is nothing. I was just having a gathering. There was a gathering at my daughter's school, and we're helping volunteer at it, and it was just connecting with some of the families there, and one of the parents there, who just is a hilarious woman, I love her to death, but a little, how should we say this, sometimes can be hard, curt, if you will, can sometimes you just go, let's let someone else go, you know, a little bit softer, gentler gloves than her. Love her to death. She's awesome. But I'm like, ah. And so she just had someone crash into her yard, tore up her tree. Tree is sideways. She's trying to sell her house. That's got to be fun, right? Trying to sell your house. And yeah, don't worry about the traffic. Nothing. This is nothing here. And so I make a joke with her about this. Like, does anybody know a good tree to stop a car so it doesn't run into your house? I'm just looking to plant something in my yard just for, you know, being proactive. I had no idea that that was the tree that she planted for her daughter when she died. I'm a jerk. I know this now. I get it. She goes, oh, the Emma tree. And so now I lean in. I knew that she had lost a daughter a long time ago. I said, I'm sorry? She goes, yeah, we planted that years ago. Ugh. And it was on her birthday. And I'm going, ooh. But that opened up a conversation that I've known her now for about 4 years. That opened up a conversation that we could have right there and then. She talked about how many people told her to, God needed another angel. And I told her, that's not the God I know. God needed this. God wanted to, and I told her, you know, is there ever an answer that would ever satisfy your pain? You know what her quick response was? No. And I said, absolutely. I'm just sorry that happened. How horrible. You don't know where he's working. You don't know how he's going to work. But there's going to be those moments in just a conversation, and it's just going to open up. And instead of running from it, lean into it. God, what do you want to do here? That didn't just happen by accident. Yes, I'm an idiot for saying it, and yes, I'm trying to be funny, and that was obviously not the way to go with that. But she knew, and we have a good relationship, and she wasn't offended. But I just, my heart went out to her, and I know yours does too. You can't control the bad things in life. You can't. But we have a God who's with us. I've been praying a prayer, starting my prayers recently with this, if you will, Trinitarian, if you will, formula. Sorry if that's too many church words for you. God for us, we call you Father. God alongside us, we call you Jesus. God within us, we call you Holy Spirit. God is for us, he is alongside us, and he is within us. He is giving us the grace and the power. And if you have never experienced that power, you can. It starts with a prayer. It starts with learning to understand and hear God's leading. It starts with digging into his word. It's crazy how it relates to our life. It's absolutely amazing to me. Some of these scriptures are over 3,000 years old, and yet incredible truth to help us live better lives. In addition, we need others. It's not about just us and God. Yes, there's a part, getting to it, we're going to have, if you will, where we read this on our own. And it's a chapter a week, and we process it, and we work through it. But then we come together with others and discuss it and get some clarity on it. And then we come in a corporate manner and process it, I pray, and encourage, I pray, in such a more powerful way. It's not about being alone. The Christian journey isn't a pilgrimage by ourselves. It's an adventure. It's with the family. We have in our, if you might not have noticed this, but some of you have, when you walk in, there's words in the little foyer area that says, "Welcome home." And that's what we hear from more and more people when they, I ask them, so how did you come to All Villages? What about it made you come back again? And I felt like home. And I'm so glad to hear that. I pray that that has been your experience, and I pray that that encourages you. But so many more people need to know what home feels like. Not alone. We have a group of people who want to journey, if you will, with you. There's a group of people that have been working tirelessly, and I say that on purpose, tirelessly, so that they may be best prepared to handle whatever God brings them. It's a group called the Stephen Ministry. They have met with leaders and have went through over 50 hours of training to provide care and support, not therapy. They're not trained therapists. They're not problem solvers. It's a very different ministry. They are with people to remind them God is here. And he wants to walk with you and journey with you in this time. And then know that someone is praying for you to, again, encourage your heart. People that are struggling, people that have grown tired in the adventure and in the journey, sometimes need a little bit extra love. They are an incredible godsend to my life and to my ministry here at this church, because they are able to give what people need. To really genuinely listen with no agenda and just be present and pray and encourage and love. We've had a few that have actually just finished this process, and I'd like to call them up, Renee and Zordy. If you'd be so kind, we'll even take, if you will, Ken and Sue. I'm sorry, I had to. They're just have fun with them. They're good. I'd like you to come and stand facing the congregation, if you would, together. Ken, you can get closer to me. I'm not contagious. We're good. And then Renee, and thank you, Zordy. These four have, again, been through See, they know, they counted, because it's a lot. It's a lot. You had times where you had to read a few books here and there. And look at Renee. He's like, I've never read this much in my life. You've had practice where you've listened and laughed and enjoyed hanging out and getting to know each other, encouraging each other. You didn't do this alone, though. Pastor George and Diane McElrath. Diane, would you please come on up? And look at Pastor George. He's like a ninja. He's awesome. Way to go. We have also other Stephen ministers that have been through the process, and we'd like to ask them to come forward. Would you guys don't mind just stepping one step? Thank you, because I know they're going to want to get behind you. So if you're a Stephen minister or have been a Stephen minister, not maybe currently serving but have served, if you would come forward as well, we'd appreciate that. Yeah, I was waiting for Mary Lou. I'm like, Mary Lou, that's you. Like, come on. To ask that you would be encouraged, to ask that God would use them. They are people like you and me that have heard God's call and said, how can I serve the family of God? And so if people have been through a divorce and they're working through what that looks like, they're open, we pray that they're open to have a Stephen minister to help them walk through that. Maybe they're in a season of life where they're really having a tough time, and they're just needing some extra love and support, Stephen minister. Maybe they've experienced a loss in the family, or maybe they've never dealt with the grief of a loss. They can too receive a Stephen minister. It's an incredible ministry to the body of Christ. That's to us as the church. And we've asked them to come up. We're going to take a moment in our service to pray for them, to challenge them and you to be open to God's leading. Maybe you've been needing a Stephen minister. You didn't even know what that was. There's stuff in our bulletin about every 2 weeks or so that talks about, we're a Stephen minister congregation. You're like, okay, I don't know what that means, whatever. Just be open. Just be open. Dear brothers and sisters, you've been equipped to serve as Stephen ministers through the 50 hours of training with our Stephen ministry leaders. Thank you. Listen now to these two scriptures. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion. I love that. And the God of all comfort, who comforts us all in our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Remember, this is not just some person's idea. This is a calling God has placed on each one of you. Each of you have been comforted by God with the good news of Jesus, of his life and his death for you. We ask you now that to join in serving our Lord and those in our congregation and neighborhood who need to be comforted. And as the Lord Jesus has responded to your needs, we ask you to strive to respond to their needs. And as the Lord Jesus took the burdens of the world on his shoulders and has been a friend to you in troubled times, we ask you to be a friend to those who are burdened and experience the daily stress of life. And as the Lord patiently listens when you turn to him, we ask you to be a patient listener, if you will, in this hurried world. And as the Spirit of Christ has given you gifts of service, that you will develop more and you will build those skills and talents, we pray that you would help use them and offer them to serve and pray for those under your care. And as the Lord Jesus has shown his care to you, we ask you to help this congregation and your church family to grow as a caring community through your own caring ministry. Lay on of hands. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, Ken, we anoint you. Sue, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we also anoint you. Zordy, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we anoint you. Renee, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we anoint you. Let us pray. God, for us, we call you Father. God, alongside us, we call you Jesus. God within us, we call you Holy Spirit. We give you thanks for our brothers and sisters. We pray for the ministry you've called them to be about. We pray that they would embrace and surrender, that they would follow not only your lead, but rely on your strength, that they would serve as an overflow of your love and your goodness in their hearts and lives, that they would be able to listen deeply, that wherever they're at and whatever they're doing, they would glorify you. Thank you for the skills that they have learned. Thank you for their desire again to be about what you're about and helping others know you and follow you more faithfully. We pray right now that you would fill them up afresh and continually draw them to you so they may serve you faithfully and run the race you have set before them. We give you thanks. We give you praise. It's in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.